Okay, good morning, everyone. We'll go to John chapter 6 this morning. John chapter 6. I want to sort of give a practical side to maybe the lesson we did last week, which was dealing with faith in hard times and how faith is dealing largely with the fact that when Jesus said you can either live by bread alone or you can live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Now, obviously, the bread alone, as you know, is what will sustain us. And everyone needs bread, amen. We need, and I thank the Lord for his what he gives us. But then Jesus said, as you looked last week, that the idea is that man shall not just live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So I want to have a look at the idea of the substance, and I call this morning substance, the substance of your faith, or of the idea is that, and how Jesus Christ is a friend to faith, and have a look at a couple of thoughts there, hopefully to help you daily, as we've just sung, you know, those great hymns, you know, I care not today what tomorrow may bring. It doesn't matter where you are, amen. The Lord's with you. He knows where you are. You're one of his. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. We can have our faith firmly planted in him. He hides us. He does all those things. Sometimes we don't see. We don't even see sometimes the mercy and how the Lord's hand works for his children. So while we'll go to John chapter 6 here, and I'll just read you this part here. This is the time when the disciples had gone over before him, and he had just fed the 5,000, which would have been something to have seen. And then he went over. And then, of course, those on the other side, they had seen what Jesus had done. They'd tasted of that bread. And so what happens here, and say, well, pick it up in verse 14 in context. Notice the Bible says, and those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Let's just pray. Father, I ask for help here this morning as we just look at this thought today from thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The idea, so Jesus, they didn't want him. They really wanted Christ for what Jesus Christ could do for them. That's really how they approaching it. Now, if you remember, we did the series of Daniel, and I want to mention this next week, that when Jesus Christ had spoken before Pilate, where he said to Pilate that there has no power unless it's given thee from above, you remember when Jesus Christ was sent by the Father, they had said to him, by what authority do you do these things? Well, he was given... There was no other authority higher than God, amen. There was no other great authority than Jesus Christ. And I'll have a look at that next week. He had the authority, and he came to do the will of the Father. And one of the will of God was that when he did the miracles before Israel, they were a sign to that nation that stone made without hands, that their Messiah was very much in the midst of them, amen. But here you have the Jews, and at the time, who was in power over the Jews? Rome. And if you think about it, they were under Rome, and really they were going through a hard time politically. Politically, we live in a world that's politically gone mad, amen, and that's all they can seem to talk about. But the thing is, the point is, we need faith in a hard time, and I want to have a look at the substance of our faith. You see, faith alone is okay, but we need substance, and the substance here Jesus Christ is going to offer them. You remember Joshua and Caleb, they had wandered in the wilderness. The Israelites had lived, had eaten the manna, even though it was from heaven. It did sustain them. But how many went into the promised land? Two. And where were the promises in the promised land? Where was the substance? When God had, he had promised them the milk and the honey, the land that flowed for milk and honey. See, Joshua and Caleb weren't just living by the manna from heaven. They were living by the very promise that God had promised them, that that's where the goodness was. Now, when you think about that, who is our promised land? Jesus Christ. And where are all the promises? In him. And one of the things that Joshua and Caleb had to do, they had to cross Jordan, remember? But they came back and they said, well, we're well able. And they were well able to take the promise that God had given Israel to go in and take the promised land. And of course, when they had come back, remember they came back and they had seen all the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and they saw all the giants in the land, and that was in Exodus 13:5. So when those that had been living, say, by bread alone, which has sustained them, they were walking by sight, because we're not to walk by sight, we walk by faith. That's God's ordained way for the believer. God doesn't expect us to walk by sight. He expects us to walk by faith, because what pleases the Lord? Faith. So to please him, to please my Saviour, is I'm to walk by faith. To walk by sight means all they could see was the circumstances. You remember Peter? He was doing fine as long as the wave didn't probably come up between him and the Lord. He couldn't see the Lord, and what did he do? He sunk. Why? Because he could see the circumstance. The problem was that Joshua and Caleb could see past the giants. They could see past the circumstances. And here's a thought for you. Is there any circumstance bigger than our God? No, there isn't, is there? I mean, we believe it because we can see it. You know, have you ever come into a place in your life and you think, well, how on earth could God do that? You know, you come up to something and you just say, the Lord can't be in this. This is just too big. But he can do it, because there is no circumstance that God can't take us through, or there's nothing that he can't do, really, in that sense. But the point is that Joshua and Caleb weren't living by bread alone. They were living by the very words that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And have a think for yourself in your own devotional life. However the Lord leads you, has it been the time when somehow you've just picked up the Bible and for some reason God just takes that verse and he speaks to you? What are you living by? By every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I'm putting my faith into what he says, or how he shows it. Now, here, the Jews are in Rome, and they were expecting their Messiah to deliver them at that time. And so Jesus said, well, they come over to take me by force. And verse 17, and entered into a ship and went over to the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. So the disciples were on the ocean. They'd gone over the other side. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew, and they rowed about 5 or 20 or 30 furlongs. They see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. It's very neat when you are in God's will, and when he's just abiding in you. It's amazing how some days seem to be easy. And have you ever noticed how some days just seem to be, you're paddling upstream, as they used to say? You just seem to be paddling up the wrong way, amen? But there are other days that God just seems to get in with you, and all of a sudden you're there. The day, and I think that's the whole point about being in the will of God. Once you know where you are, where the will of God is for our lives, once you realize that and understand that's God's leading, where he puts you, then amen to that. And the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that the disciples were gone away alone. Of course, what they couldn't see, the fact that he was God and he walked on the water and he went over to the other side. And the point is that they went over the other side and they were over there, and they came over now then to want to force him now as a king, so he would then deliver them. And by the way, whose will does this sound like? That's man's will, isn't it? That's man's will wanting something from God. And it's sometimes our biggest problem. I like what Chambers said the other day. Have you ever fretted? Have you ever worried? You've no business fretting or worrying, as he said. We fret because generally we get worried because we want it to go our way. We get worried because, Lord, I need this thing to happen this way. And the Lord says, really? Amen. He says, don't worry. Why? Because where's the promise? The promise, he said he'd never leave us. What's the point? Here's the thing. There is nothing in our life we should hold on to too dearly, because the Lord can turn the tide and he can lead us and put us in a place that you and I would never think about. He would open up a door. He does all those things for us, and we just have to sometimes trust him. Now the point is, trust is the big issue, because if you think about the children of Israel, they had lived by manna alone, and they were to cross Jordan to go where the promises were. Would you agree? Well, when you trust the Lord, it's the same thing. I've got to come to Jordan. I'm just going to be honest with you, because Jordan is this. I've got to step in myself, and as soon as I've done, I'm now dead to myself. To trust the Lord, you have to be dead to yourself. If you're holding on to a little bit of your own trust, well, you've got one foot in Jordan and one foot out. And trouble is we tend to want to walk back by sight again, because walking by faith is like, I'm going to go into Jordan. But here's the thing to remember, though. Crossing Jordan is you're now on the road to where the promises are. That's the point. You're heading towards the promises. If I don't cross Jordan, I'm going to now stay in the wilderness, say, and walk by sight, not by faith. So we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And, of course, that's so opposite to our thinking. So here we have a challenge that these people want to take Christ because of what they saw. And So he does that. So have a look with me. Let's read on to, let's come down to say verse 26. I'll run through this passage kind of quickly a little bit. Most of you probably read it. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves that were and were filled. See, the purpose of the miracle was to assign to Israel, to show them maybe who he was. But rather than seeing the miracle or taking notice of the miracle, they were more interested in the loaves and what Jesus Christ had done for them. Then he says, labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now, remember last week, bread alone or by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he says, labour for not the meat that perisheth, but labour for the meat that doesn't, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him have God the Father sealed. So we now know where to get it from. And then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he have sent. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see? Well, the miracle of the 5,000 was the sign. Amen. Even the disciples missed it. You remember they were in the boat and they were fussing because they hadn't. Jesus was talking about leaven of the Pharisees, the doctrine, not bread. And they were wondering, well, Peter, did you bring the bread? No, I think John has it. You know, they were fussing over whether there was any bread, and the Lord turned to him and said, you could imagine the frustration sometimes God had with the disciples. Have you ever wondered how frustrated God gets with us? Amen. We're no different, really. And they said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou? And then we may see and believe thee. What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it's written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They seem to remember about the manna that was given to Israel in the wilderness. And so they're still focused on that. It wasn't, I don't really think God did them a great favour in the wilderness, because the manna wasn't such a great provision, was it? I mean, it sustained them. It was some sort of a white coriander kind of a look about it. And what I can get, it just didn't have the taste, and they wanted to go back and get a better tasted food, maybe. You know what I mean? But it did sustain them. It had everything that they needed. Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So here's some substance. We're talking about now him. Jesus is not talking about anything else. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now here they ask for it. Have you ever asked the Lord for something and he gives you the answer to it, and then it wasn't the answer you wanted to hear? Watch. They ask for it. And he will reveal himself to you. He will reveal himself to us. Ask for it and he will give you an answer. You know what our biggest problem is? Is accepting the answer. Okay, so you asked for it, you got it. So the Lord said, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. So the Father's will there, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him. Now I will make a note here. Here's the difference between you and I. They could see him. They handled him. They said they handled the word of life. They could see him. Here's a difference in faith, isn't it? So it's not seeing him is where the faith is to be put. The faith to be put in what he says. And so that's where the, in which he says, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and in truth. So they could see him, but it's not the sight that God wants from them, it's in what he says. So notice he says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that then he saith, I came down from heaven? So his birth to them is a stumbling block. They can only see that he was the son of Joseph. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Don't you hate it when the Lord reads your mail? How do you know? How do you know they were murmuring? No man can come to me except the Father which have seen sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So the Lord keeps referring back to that, as it's written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God, every man therefore that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. Notice how Jesus said, they that have heard and have learnt. How does faith come? By hearing. Not that any man have seen the Father, save he which is of God. He have seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am that bread of life. So here's substance. We need substance. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are what? Dead. Wasn't enough. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. A man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now understand, if a Jew, they would look at his flesh as being unclean. They understood what he's talking about. Jesus Christ, though, was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There was no sin in him. That's why the Jews didn't eat pig meat or pork and all those other meats that they weren't meant to eat in the Old Testament, even though you can eat them now because they're sanctified by prayer. That was mentioned as unmeat. So the Lord's offending them. In a way, that's an offence to them. Because then he says, verily I say unto you, except eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life. Notice the words the Lord uses, in you. Isn't it amazing that you and I have Christ in us and you have life? You know the Bible says, if you don't have the Lord, you don't have life. You have life that sustains you. When you and I got saved, God gave you eternal life. Live for what? Ever. We have the life of the Son of God in us. Paul said that. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then he goes on, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You and I have partaken of that bread from heaven. You say, how did you know that, Simon? Well, when you got saved, did not the blood of Christ wash and clean you? Didn't he open the door for heaven for us? Amen? There's the bread, there's the blood. Who eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I'll raise him at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father have sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now, obviously, by now, they know that he's not talking literally. Chomp, chomp. Let's go to Papua New Guinea, bro, and find the cannibals up there. He's not talking about that. This is that bread which came down from heaven. That's important. Didn't come from here. Came from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60, many thereof his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, "Does this offend you? What if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you that are spirit, and they are life, but there are some of you that believe not." How is it that you and I believe in the spiritual things of God? Because we have the Spirit of God in us. You realize that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is talking about. The Holy Ghost can teach you and I because you've got him in you. What did he say about the natural man to the things of God? Their foolishness. They can't discern them. They think you're stupid. You know, most brethren think we're stupid. Most Christians are atheists today. How do you know that, Brother Simon? Well, I tell them that the church is a spiritual body that God put you in when you got saved. Amen? Oh, no, no, we want to see the local church so we can see it. No, no, God put you in a body. Amen? Aren't you glad you're in him? Aren't you glad you're in that body? Because that body will meet him in the air. Hallelujah. And he'll bring all those that come with him. We then become the bride of Christ. Hallelujah for that. And too many believers are walking by sight because they don't want to believe just the very fact that, well, I just don't understand it. Well, I'm sure they didn't understand exactly what Jesus is saying here, but surely there's something going a light on saying he can't be talking about cannibalism here. And then Jesus makes it clear. But some of them said, it's a hard saying. And you know, remember the point was is that they asked him. What did they ask him? Give us this bread. Okay. You know what the Lord offered them? A life of faith. Believe my words and follow me. A life of faith. That's what he offered. Some of them said it's too hard. What did they do? They left. That's too hard. They wanted to continue to live by sight rather than be led by the Spirit and believe what he said. Now I think, and you'll see what I'm going to say in a moment, for me to believe the words of you and I to believe the words of Jesus Christ, and even though we know that they are spirit, he's not talking about the flesh, they're his words. Those words give us life. To believe that, I have to come to Jordan. And not lean on my own understanding. Because I want substance. I want the true bread, amen? I want the bread that came down from heaven. So I'm going to have to believe what the Lord says. I'm going to have to swallow my pride and say, I'm not going to walk by sight any longer. I'm going to start to look at this thing by faith. Because you remember, if you think about it, God always gives us his word by permission anyhow. He opens our eyes and understanding to it. But the others, what did they do? They walked. It was too hard. That's too hard for me. We'll walk by sight. And they left. So let's carry on here. For Jesus knew from the beginning, verse 64, who they were that believed not and should betray them. By the way, there was about 70 disciples that walked away. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So here's the point. So here the Lord is teaching faith to those who want to walk by sight. He presents them to believe him by faith, and they choose to walk by sight by going back. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? So here's the invitation. The invitation is this. Will you walk by sight or will you walk by faith? Because we know that Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God. Impossible, right? So here's the invitation. Now Jesus Christ is a friend to faith. He came to do whose will? His will or the Father's? the Father. So Christ is a friend of faith. If I put my faith in him, he's my friend. He's your friend. But if I choose to walk by sight, I'm making him not my friend, because I have a choice not to believe him. Would you agree with me? But I have a choice to believe him. Notice here, so the invitation is, and you think about it for a moment, well, the Lord said, well, no matter what you guys do, I'm still going to walk by faith because Calvary's up ahead. I'm not going to turn away from the Father's will even if you, my closest disciples, don't follow me. You see what I'm trying to say? So he gives that invitation. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Notice he says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice Peter's substance in his faith. Excuse me. And I like Peter's faith here because, you know what he says? Well, who are we going to go to if it's not you? Who are we going to turn to? You go to Buddha. Maybe you like to go to Muhammad. All the other religions in the world. By the way, they're all dead. I can never understand Buddha, because they made him with man's hands. Then there's an evil spirit that lies with it, and somehow they worship this thing. But whom shall we go? Well, whom shall I go? I need to go to the Lord. He is the true and living bread. And of course, the fact of the matter is this. It's not my good works or my behaviour that pleases the Lord. That doesn't please him. What pleases the Lord is when we cross Jordan. What pleases the Lord is when you and I walk by faith. God is not interested in our good works. It doesn't please him. Would you agree with me? That doesn't please him. Oh, I'm sure he wants you to do good works, but that doesn't please him. What pleases him, when we come up to Jordan and say, Lord, yeah, I'm going to follow you. You have the promises. I'm going to now be dead to myself and walk by faith. That pleases the Lord. And isn't that so simple? It's so simple, I think people sometimes miss it. And the Lord offered them a life of faith, a life that was found in him. Now remember, they came to get what they could get from him. They didn't want him. But they needed to come to a place called Jordan to cross into the promised land. I remember the whole thing, and I was talking to Isabel, I know a lot of you are living by faith, amen? And you've got journeys ahead of all of us, as in this room, there's a journey ahead for all of us, one way or the other. Make it by faith, don't make it by sight. But I remember, and as I was penning this down, I was thinking about when I was looking after my mother for 3 years, or how long it was in Brisbane there, and I was her carer. But I was going to make sure that I was going to keep Sunday, and also they had me at that time, this is before I met Jan, to look after Palmwoods, the little church when the other guy went back. But so what I would do, I was in Brisbane, and I had a few incentives. I'd get up early in the morning. I'd make sure Mum was okay. I'd drive from Brisbane to the Sunshine Coast every Sunday morning. I stopped at McDonald's on the way for a Macca's breakfast, amen. That was my incentive. went up there, did the church, put it together, pulled it apart, da-da-da, and went back down. And did that for, I suppose, 3 years. I don't know how long it was that lasted. But I was thinking to myself, when I was doing that, I started that whole thing by faith. I'm just going to do this by faith. I had to make this thing. I said to Mum, no matter what you think, Sunday is important to me. It is the first day of the week. Now come over to 2 Thessalonians 5:23. And I'm going to show you what I mean. the disciples could see the Lord. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23, sorry. They could see him. This is what they said about him. In John 1:14, the Bible says, "And he was the word was made manifest and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." To the disciples, they saw him. He was made known, manifest. In 1 John 1, chapter 1, it says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifest unto us. So they could see it. They handled it. Who did they handle? Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. When they were standing there before Pentecost, and Jesus now had appeared to them for that 40 days, he was about to ascend, and they were gazing, and you remember when they were gazing up to heaven, and they said, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? And I love the words, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. What same Jesus? The one they handled, the one that they saw. You remember they were in the upper room in Luke? What did Jesus do? He came into the room and he said, be afraid, I'm not a spirit. And he ate, he said, I have flesh and bones. See, when the disciples were with the Lord, they handled him, they saw him. Amen? I mean, God was manifest to them. It was a physical thing. Then have a look, keep your finger there with 1 Thessalonians. Just pop over to John chapter, I think it's John chapter 16. John 16, just find that. Yeah, John 16. Just have a look in John 16 for a moment. Because the idea is we're talking about substance here. So they had substance to their faith. I mean, they could see him. They could talk with him. They handled him. John actually leaned on his breast. John 16, and let's come down to, say, verse 19. Notice what Jesus says to the disciples. He's just been instructing them that he's going to send another comforter because he's going to go away. He says, nevertheless, I tell you in verse 7, the truth is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Can I just want you to think for a moment? Jesus Christ had been with them for three and a half years. Peter had finally come to the point and said, well, who do we go? The disciple says, we've handled him, we've seen him. This same Jesus that we have seen and talk about will also come again while witnessed by the angels, amen. I mean, they had substance in their faith. Jesus Christ comes along and says, listen, I'm going to leave, but for me to leave, I'm going to have to send another comforter. Can I just say right here, that if your substance of your faith is in that person and he comes along and says, now I'm going to leave you, how do you think they would feel? Sorrowful. Have a look what the Lord says in verse 19. He says in verse 19, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep. Who? The disciples. Well, why? Because their faith was in substance, was in the person of Jesus Christ, amen? They had followed, they'd walked with him, they handled him, they'd seen him. The angels had said, listen, this same Jesus is going to come back again, amen? I love that verse. We're not talking of some sort of phantom here. You know what I mean? Christ is going to come back. He says to them, listen, you're going to be sorrowful. You're going to weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. I don't care. Why? Because they don't have faith. And he shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Hallelujah, what a promise that is. Can you imagine the joy of the glory of God that will be revealed in you and I when we get to heaven? Oh, amen, yeah. You know, some have gone before us. They're in glory. Amen, they're not suffering. I mean, if you think about it, their faith is complete and whole, amen? And here, there's going to be this time where we can sometimes feel like we're abandoned from Jesus Christ. Who's ever felt like you've just walked alone? And where is he? You know, we used to sing a song. I used to love it. There's nothing between my soul and my Savior. What do you mean? That thing that gets between you and God, there's something that just gets there? Somehow he's there and you're there and you can't seem to get to him? Who knows what I mean? But the point is that there's a practical side. So in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5:23, have a look what God says about us. Now we are saved. And he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, have you noticed God's order there? First, it's the spirit. Secondly, it's the soul. And then what's the last one? The body. Now, the body is bread alone. Would you agree with me? That will sustain you. That's what we... Remember Jesus said, remember God's order? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So here's the... So God's order is not our order. So he says, seek. Now, he says, seek the kingdom of God first. What's that? The unseen. You know how God, you know how we are to live, how we are to have substance for our faith? We need to put some things first. The first thing I need to take care of is my spirit. Because we're body, soul, and spirit. You say, how do you do that, Brother Simon? We take care of our spirit is how we think. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient is the evil thereof. That's my spirit. Women, your spirit is emotional. True? I feel for you. I'm trying to be nice here. But there's the spirit. Now, the spirit is connected to our love, to the things we seek. So for me to have substance, I need to find the things that help my spirit. Who's ever thought wrong here? We all do, don't we? Our thinking's wrong. And this is how we think. It's quite simple. I have a need, and I look over, and there it is. And God says, wrong. Look at me. Oh, thank you, Lord. See what I mean? Because we are going to walk by sight. That's just natural. We're gonna walk by sight. We're gonna follow the things that we can see. That's just human nature. That's just the way we are. But I need to learn how to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I first of all have to take care of my spirit. That's how I think. Now your thinking is also connected to the Comforter who will guide and teach you what? All things. That's what he said to the disciples. Now, would the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, teach you something that he didn't write in a book? No, so that's your thinking. The second one is your soul. And how then is my soul taken care of? I think your soul's taken care of when you follow what you've been taught. Now let me say something, come back to my point, I'm going to close here in a second. How then do I have substance in the Christian life? God's order is always first. Sunday is the first day of the week. And God says, I want you to take care of your spirit and soul first. And Sunday, if you think about it, is a place where we can come to get fed from the Word of God. That's what Sunday is about. It's the first day of the week. What about first day in the morning? The first thing in the morning to think about God. I'm going to put Him first. I'm going to get the food I need first. And the food that you and I need first are the things that take care of our spirit and our soul. But what happens, we get so distracted with what? This life. True? What gets neglected? Can I just say this to you? Two-thirds of you get neglected. Your spirit and your soul get neglected. You're only one-third complete. But when you start looking at it, you think, no, I need the Lord today. I need to put Him first today. He is the living bread. I need to have a life of faith that follows Him. That's what's presented to me. When I start to walk by sight, I notice there's a couple of things that seem to go missing. When you walk by sight, have you ever noticed you don't read your Bible as much? When you walk by sight, even coming to church on Sunday, it's not that important. Foolish. Wander around in the wilderness. Amen. Wander around in the wilderness. Think about it. You come to church on Sundays, what we're really saying, we're saying we're walking Jordan. What are we doing? We're saying, I want something more in my life than I have now, Lord. And God says, I know how to do that. I know how to fill you. I know what you and I need. It's the living word. Amen? And when you start looking at it like that, then it changes how you think. Now, if how I think changes, then all my planning changes. Yeah, amen. My planning always starts working out what comes first. See how that works? It's tough, I know. Because once I start planning and I say, Lord, I'm going to put you first, you know the first thing you and I think about? What am I going to miss out on? Honestly, come on, it's true. I've thought it. Lord, if I put you first, what am I going to miss out on? I'm not going to be able to do this, this, and that. And then God said, Simon, you're so stupid, because once I put Him first, He gave me this, this, and that. In fact, I didn't miss out on anything. In fact, actually, the Lord gives us a whole lot more than we can even imagine. Amen? He will even take care of the desire of your heart. But the point is, but what the Lord wants, He says, listen, will you put me first? Will you come to Jordan? Will you step into Jordan? Look, you know where the promises are. Don't walk by sight. He says, step in by faith. Trust me. Be dead to yourself. Be dead to all the things that you plan. All my decisions that I had planned, I put on hold because I said to the Lord one day, I'm going to put Sunday first. Yeah, amen. And mum can stay home. Yeah, amen. Yeah, I mean, come on, let's be serious. We are talking about God here. Because the thing is that when I put Him first, how much greater the blessing in my life was. How much fuller of the joy of the Lord I had. It sustained me far above I could even think. And listen to me, when you start following the Lord, no one's going to understand you. They're not going to get it. Why? Because when you walk by sight, what are you really doing? You're walking in darkness. You're blind as a bat. Amen. When they were in the wilderness, they needed some sort of blinkers on, I'm sure. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years, and it was only 11 miles to walk from point A to point B, and they could have got into the promise of God. You know, I hate the thought of it, but I hate the thought of the opportunity that God has given some people. Now, I've seen it. And I thank the Lord that He gave you and I the grace to take the opportunity He gave us. Amen? I'm thankful for that. It was His grace. But I have seen people where God's given opportunity. He gave them the grace to follow Him. And I don't know where they are now, and it's probably really none of my business. But the point was is that I saw them come to a place where the Lord offered them a life of faith, but they chose sight. And I know and understand that's not me. I don't want to be judgmental on that, because I'll tell you why. You can't judge others because you don't really know what they're going through. You don't know where they've been. You don't know the problems that they have had. And I'm sure the Lord is gracious, and I'm sure He keeps giving the opportunities like He gave to Israel. Lord, give us this bread. He keeps offering it. And Lord willing, one day by their faith and their will, they will take it. Let's close with our last hymn. It is Well With My Soul, 256.